good to see you. We have a number present. We appreciate that. We have visitors that we welcome. I'm glad that you're among us this morning. We meet again at 6 o'clock tonight. We look forward to seeing everyone back then as well. A couple of words before we get started. One I mentioned in class already. Obviously, everybody can see we have a new video system today. We're thankful for that, and I believe that we're all going to be benefited by that. Let me know if you still think the font is too small. My recommendation will be there's a lot of empty seats up here. I hope that everybody can see the material well, and that it'll be good use for us to study God's Word. Secondly, and I meant to say this in class, I know over the last little while I've heard several of you saying that the internet is very slow, and that's because our server, our Wi-Fi is downstairs, so we put an extender. I put an extender up here, and there's a couple of new networks available. If you'll sign up on one of those, either it's number 2 or number 5, it's the same Mount Baker, and there'll be a 2 and a 5 and extender. Same password. If you'll sign into one of those instead, it should help you. I know several of you use electronic Bibles, and it's not for Facebook. It's not for messaging. Not during services. But it is for if you need access for your Bibles and such as that. That is available for you too. If you need more help on that, let me know. I'll be glad to help you on that. All right. I appreciate the genre for us. Colossians 2, verses 20 through 23, as we want to begin a two-part study today, this morning and tonight, about spirituality and pure religion. As the text speaks of, it talks about the basic principles of the world, and then it also alludes to, and the implication is, there's the principles that are according to Christ. You go on into chapter 3 in verse 1, and he speaks more about that. The world has set up this tension, this unwarranted contradiction between being spiritual and being religious. And that's really at the heart of the study. I said, well, what's the world saying is spirituality? And so I looked it up, and there, of course, is Wikipedia. Wikipedia says, spirituality may refer to almost any kind of meaningful activity. Now, there's a helpful definition. Any meaningful activity, especially a search for the sacred. It may also refer to personal growth, blissful experience, or an encounter with one's own inner dimension. Now, listen, there's blissful experience, personal growth, inner dimension. So they just couldn't quite come to talk about the spirit of man and the soul, but that's what we're getting to now. So that's a very broad definition of what the world calls spiritual, but what I think we can all agree upon and recognize is that in the world, being spiritual is viewed as something that's very positive, something that is a journey of self-discovery. Coincidentally, I just got an email last night, or actually got it this morning, from somebody that had been on our website and looked at a lesson on spiritual sacrifices, and she's an author, and she wants to write something about her spiritual journey and post it on our website. And would I be interested in her being able to write about her journey of self-discovery, her word? And that's what the world thinks being spiritual is about. Finding yourself, finding something that's emotionally fulfilling for you, rewarding to you. That thing is a very positive thing. Now, on the other hand, being religious is viewed very negatively. If being spiritual is a journey, then the world says religion is a dead end. It's negative, it's legalistic and cold and demanding and destructive. Now that's the contradiction the world has set up between being spiritual and being religious. Not in the Bible. Not God's definition. It's the world's. It's the principles. That's why we chose Colossians 2 as our reading. If you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, we reject the world's definition of what it means to be spiritual and what it means to be religious. That's not who we're following. But that's what a vast majority of people are following. Bill Tyler sent me this a few months back. I don't know if he remembers or not. But now look at that. My little red button doesn't reflect on that screen. Now, isn't that something? Look at that. I might as well throw this away. Except I have to turn the slide with that. So we'll find one that reflects. I don't know if they're out there. Are they out there, Tyler? We'll find out. So you recognize the sign if you go down Telegraph Road here in Bellingham, the Unity Spiritual Center. And this was on their sign a few months ago. The truth within you, spirituality, not religiosity. There's the tension. There's the conflict that the world sees between being spiritual and being religious. I want to share a little bit of that insight with you, or that idea with you from their website. Now, we do this for information. I mean, this is all on the internet, so we're not, we don't intend to abuse them or misquote them or mistreat them. This is just information to know what it means that when people are talking about being spiritual. Well, this comes from a spiritual center here in town and what they think it is. See what they say. We're a community of spiritual travelers, each finding our own truth through learning, service, and unselfish giving of love. Okay, so there's that spiritual journey. That we're spiritual travelers and we're finding our own truth. They go on to say, our theology is simple. Through forgiveness and expressing love, well, who's against forgiveness? We're not. And expressing love, well, we're not against that, but let's get the definitions. They say, our theology is simple. Through forgiveness and expressing love, we heal ourselves and become potentials for peace in the world. We heal ourselves ought to cause a red flag to go up. So the Bible says we don't heal ourselves, Christ heals us. But they go on their website, quote, we believe that Jesus has been misunderstood by many religions. A careful study of his life shows he lived for us rather than died for us. He is a teacher who asks that we become more like him. And so again, the Spiritual Center in Bellingham is telling people, advocating on their website, and they gather every Sunday at 10, as you saw on their website, on the sign there, and they're teaching that Jesus lived for us, not died for us. Quote, rather than demanding that people suffer, he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, in prayers that I heard this morning, because Sam led us in prayer, and in eating the Lord's Supper, we remember his suffering, didn't we? And Sam prayed, led us in prayer about the suffering and tribulation of this world. In fact, suffering, Jesus said, he said in John 16 and verse 33, that in this world you have tribulation. We'll get back to that verse in just a minute. But the concept of being spiritual in this world is to find a path where you don't suffer. Find a path where you feel comfortable in your inner self. It's your journey, not somebody else's. It's your journey. What you have discovered about yourself to be enlightened and fulfilled within yourself. That's the concept of being spiritual that the world has. And Christians are affected by that attitude. We can be tempted to think in the same sorts of ways. They go on, quote, we are a spiritual center committed to nourishing joyful lives through positive thoughts, words, and actions. There's that word positive. Nothing is not positive. Unity is a positive, practical, non-denominational center based on the spiritual ideas taught by Jesus, ideals taught by Jesus and all other enlightened spiritual leaders. The world's concept of spirituality is that we can glean some things from Jesus. He's one of many enlightened leaders out there, spiritual leaders, gurus and such, and we'll take something from all of them.
Now, that's the common view of a spiritual journey. And I know there's a lot more to it, but here's the point that I want to focus on. There are two conflicting principles. The conflict is between competing principles here. The principles of the world and the principles of Christ. The principles of the world, go back there to Colossians 2 and look at this. Colossians 2 actually is a warning the Spirit, Holy Spirit gave as there began to be a development of what later was called asceticism. Where people thought they had to remove themselves from everything of this world. And so you had monasteries develop and such as that, where they would remove themselves from anything of this life. Well, there's a warning here that against the basic principles of the world. He says, and they're going to tell you, don't touch, don't taste, don't handle. I suppose that's kind of flipped now, and the spiritual life now is touch, taste, and handle. What is that? I'm sorry, I don't remember, but there was a movie and there was a book, Live, Love, What? I don't know, three words, what was that? I think Julia Roberts was in the movie, if I'm remembering. Live, love, do something else. I don't know. That's the concept. It's just the concept of the world about what being spiritual is about. It's all about self. The conflict is with Christ. You see, if you are raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, not the things that are on the earth. So you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The world says, no, you live. The life Jesus wants you to have now is here now. Find that life now. Investigate yourself. Explore yourself. Find what is good within you. And find that enlightenment and cling to that. Well, Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have spiritual blessings, but they're not found in the world. They're found in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Now go to John 16:33 with me. John 16:33. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Well, that's what being spiritual is all about, isn't it? We're going to find peace in this world. Wait a minute. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have suffering. What we read in that quote a while ago about the unity center, spiritual center, is it's about removing suffering. No. In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. There's the contrast. We have two competing principles. The world's way of thinking and Christ's way of thinking. The Bible tells us that being what are spiritual things and what does it mean to be spiritual? The Bible tells us some things about what it means to be spiritual by making a contrast with those things that are material. For example, in 1 Corinthians 9:11, Paul used spiritual and material as a contrast. So when we talk about things that are spiritual, it's in contrast to things that are material. If we've shown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? There he's talking about the support of the gospel preacher, because they have sown spiritual things in teaching the word of God, the gospel, and so to receive material things, that is financial support, he says that's only appropriate. So he contrasts spiritual and material. So we're talking to the definition now. What are spiritual things? Well, they're not material. They're not material. Secondly, they're not natural. That is, they're not of this world. 1 Corinthians 15:44-49. It is sown a natural body. Talking about the burying of a dead body there. It's sown a natural body. Put the dead body in the grave. That's the natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There's going to be a different kind of body. One fit for the spirit realm. The eternal realm. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. So he makes the contrast. When something's spiritual, it's not of this world. It's not of this natural world. Okay? spiritual things are contrasted with things that are temporary in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. We do not lose heart, for though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen, but the things that are seen are temporary, things that are not seen are eternal. So the spiritual things are not seen with the eye. They are temporary. It speaks to the immortal spirit of man, to that which is made in the image of God. We've been made in God's image. But that's the part of us we don't see with our material, a fleshly eye, natural eye. It's that part of us that is immortal, not temporary. Not the part that decays. The spiritual part is the part that goes on. So when we talk about spiritual things, we're talking about things that apply to the inner man. Of course, that affect the outward man, because we live in the flesh. But you see, it is the inner man that animates the flesh. When the body dies, the spirit leaves, and the spirit leaves, the body dies. James 2:26. So spiritual things speak to that part of us that's in the image of God, that endures beyond the flesh, that is non-corporeal, that is not material, it's not of the natural world, and it's immortal. Now, these things are found in heavenly places. They're found in heavenly places. We already looked at Ephesians 1 and 3, didn't we? Now look at chapter 2, 5 through 7. He said, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Marvelous grace of Jesus that we sang about a moment ago. It's found where? It's found in Christ Jesus. But where is that located? It's in heavenly places in Christ. God's grace is found in Christ. That's in the heavenly places, because that's a spiritual blessing, not a blessing that comes from and of this world. So, what does it mean to be spiritual? I think, we pretty well understand what the spiritual things have to do with the inner person. But what does it mean to be spiritual? Well, based on those definitions, it means that, first of all, now, Scripture says it's about loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. In Deuteronomy, God taught Israel how to be spiritual. He taught them that in the law of Moses. He said, oh, no, I thought the law of Moses was a physical law. Well, yes, it was, but he talked to them about being spiritual. He talked to them about how they were to be in their inner being as they were obedient to the commandments he gave. Look at Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You see, to love God is to put his word in our heart and to obey what he said. And he taught that to Israel. And Jesus teaches that. When he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 and verse 15. But look at Joshua 22 and verse 5, just as an illustration. When God, by Joshua, leads Israel in and gives them the land of promise, in Joshua 22 and verse 5, Joshua tells Israel, take careful heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. He's teaching them how to be spiritual people, to obey God, to love God, and obey God with all their heart and all their soul. When you love God with all your heart and all your soul, you obey him with all your heart and all your soul. Loving God is the essence of being spiritual. Now, I'm sorry, the world says the essence of being spiritual is loving yourself.
That's the principle of the world. You love yourself. I want to show you a quote about that. It essentially says that in just a minute. You love yourself. You don't go on a path that brings some pain to yourself. No, you find a path that brings you inner peace. It's all about you. That's what the world says being spiritual is about. Now, God says being spiritual begins with loving Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with our inner person, with that immortal part of us that is in His image. And that will be shown then in our outward fleshly conduct in this body of obeying Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Now, what does it mean to be spiritual? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to get an answer there. To be spiritual means that we are guided by the revelation given by the Spirit of God. That's God's definition of being spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10 says, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Now, the things He's revealed are the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. God's prepared His will, and He's preached it in the gospel. The gospel, the message of the cross, beginning in chapter 1, verse 18 in 1 Corinthians. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit touches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You see, the world's concept of spirituality is find the deep things about yourself. The Spirit has given us the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man who's in him? Even so, none knows the spirit of the things of God save the Spirit of God, except the Spirit of God. We need to hear from the Spirit of God to know what the deep things of God are. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. That is, the apostles were inspired by the Holy Spirit that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God prepared them, God has given them to us, and the Holy Spirit has revealed them to us by the apostles of Jesus. These things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, combining spiritual things with spiritual. There's our word. Spiritual things are combined with spiritual work. The words of God are spiritual words. They address our spiritual being, so that we can know God's will for our lives. We can live it. We can obey it. We can be saved in Jesus. Now, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Remember that contrast? When the contrast of being spiritual was contrasted with natural? 1 Corinthians 15, 44. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. No foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, we read that text, made some comments because we want to see that Paul makes a contrast between who is spiritual and who is natural. And that God has provided a revelation for us so that the spirit of man is addressed by the Spirit of God, so that we are not condemned, but instead walk according to the mind of Christ. Look at the natural man. Chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, he lives by human reasoning alone. He does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. The natural man. The man who lives in the flesh. He's the man not guided by revelation. He's the man who refuses to receive the things of the Spirit of God. He rejects the Word of God. He instead rests his case upon human reasoning. Chapter 1 and verse 18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The natural man hears the gospel and says it's foolishness. Verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. You see, because the Greek concept in seeking wisdom was wisdom that came from themselves, not from divine revelation from the Almighty God. You see, the gospel is foolishness to them. The natural man throws away the gospel. He's not spiritual. No matter how much he investigates his inner being and thinks he's on a spiritual journey, the natural man who throws away revelation from God is not spiritual. Not in God's definition. You see that? That's what the scripture says. The natural man casts aside revelation. You see, he lives by the very thing Jeremiah said is not true. Jeremiah said, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. The natural man, who perceives himself to be on a spiritual journey nonetheless, says, no, the way of man is in myself. I'll listen to all the teachers out there and I'll find what fits for me. Proverbs 16 verse 25, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way to death. Okay, so again, it may seem like you're on a good journey, like you're on a spiritual journey. But in fact, it leads to death. The natural man is not guided by revelation. Here's the natural man. Here's a quote from Buddha. That great spiritually enlightened figure who lived in the 7th century B.C. in India. And now they have images of Buddha all over the Asian continent and around the world, I suppose. No, he's thought to be some great enlightened teacher. Here's what he said. By the way, this also came from the website of the Unity Spiritual Center. Believe nothing, he said, quote, believe nothing no matter where you read it or who said it, no matter if I have said it, unless it agrees with your own reason and your own common sense. Now that's Buddha. Don't believe anything unless it agrees with your common sense. Our common sense doesn't define truth. That's not truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Now who are we going to believe? Buddha on his spiritual journey as he walked around 2,500 years ago plus? Thinking he's on a spiritual quest, and if it made sense to him, he did it, he accepted it, and telling you to do the same thing? Or Jesus? Principle of the world, the principle of Christ. Jesus said in John 4, 23 and 24, that God is seeking true worshipers. Our coming now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God seeking worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Not our own common sense. And say, I'm spiritual. Because it makes sense to me. But what Jesus reveals, what the Spirit of God reveals, you see, and that takes us right back to 1 Corinthians 2. The teaching of the apostles is the word of Jesus Christ that enable us to be spiritual people. Go back to that. You see, the spiritual person, and man is used generically, anthropos, mankind, humanity, you know, can't use man anymore, you know that? In places, they say, can't use man, that's being biased. You know, that's mansplaining or whatever that, I mean, the principles of the world have run amok in our society. Well, sorry, that's a little rabbit trail. So you know what I'm talking about. If you pay attention to the culture of the day, that our children are being taught in universities and in high schools, and it's coming on down lower and lower. Absolutely. The spiritual man. Look at this. Verses 15 and 16. The spiritual, he who is spiritual, judges all things. Then he examines all things. The word judge is to examine all things. What does he examine it by?
by himself? No. With context, he examines it by revelation, by the things that the Spirit of God has revealed. The spiritual man takes the spiritual word that the Spirit of God has given, and he examines all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged or condemned or examined by no one. We don't stand. Our judgment doesn't come from man, it comes from God. And we are ready to be judged by the same word that we use to judge all things with. Why? Because that's the mind of the Lord, verse 16. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. That is right here. Revelation. The spiritual man accepts the Spirit's revelation and judges all things with the mind of Jesus Christ. And he accepts the word of the cross, not as foolishness, but as the wisdom and power of God. And that's the broader context in which these comments are given. Now, later in chapter 3, of 1 Corinthians, Paul said, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks himself to be wise in this present age, or seems to be wise in this age, as the principles of this world, let him become a fool that he may become wise." In other words, you have a choice. Do you want to be the spiritual person or the natural person? If you really want to be the spiritual person, then receive the things of the Spirit of God revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to believe and obey that, to give that your whole heart and soul and mind and strength. Become a fool in this world that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness of God, he goes on to say. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. God's word shows the foolishness of men who claim to be spiritual while casting aside the word, the spiritual word that came from the Spirit of God. What does it mean to be spiritual? One other point here. It means that we are submissive to God's law. The spiritual person is submissive to God's law. To accept it, we've already seen that in 1 Corinthians 2, but look at Romans 8, beginning in verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. To those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, this is amplified in Galatians 5, 16-24, that we're to live by the Spirit, that we're to walk in the Spirit, that we're to be led by the Spirit of God, so that we bear the fruit of the Spirit, because to be led by the flesh is to bear the works of the flesh. To be spiritual, though, this passage says, our mind is set on the things that the Spirit gives. Our mind is set upon the gospel, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that made us free from the law of sin and death, chapter 8, verse 2. But focus especially on verses 6 and 7 here. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is hostile toward God. It is not subject to the law of God. It can't be. The spiritually minded are subject to the law of God, and that leads to life and peace. The natural man, the carnally minded man, has his mind set on the flesh. He's hostile to God. He's hostile to his truth. 1 Corinthians 2:14. And that leads to death. Who's the spiritual person? It's not just the person who thinks about God, talks about God, says they love God. The spiritual person is the person who receives the things of the Spirit of God. He receives the Word of God and yields to it in their life, in his life. He obeys that word. He submits it to. He subjects himself to. He puts himself under the law of God. That leads to life and peace. In this world you have tribulation, but I came to give you peace, Jesus said. I've overcome the world. His peace reaches into eternity. But if we think like the world, if we set our mind on the flesh, satisfy ourselves, fulfill ourselves, look inward for satisfaction and fulfillment, we become hostile to God, hostile to truth, and that leads to our eternal death, eternal separation. In closing, Psalm 1:1-3 talks about the spiritual person. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Meditation. Oh, that's where you find spirituality. Lotus, the lotus position, right? Cross your legs, sit down, meditate. Blessed is the man who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's where we're going to find genuine spirituality. Delighting in the law of God, meditating on it constantly, living by it consistently, being blessed for that. And then look at verse 6. The Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The spiritual person is the righteous, godly person who takes the word of God, the mind of God, examines himself with it, not with the principles of man, but with God's word, and harmonizes himself with it, and meditates upon it, and lives by it. That's the quote spiritual journey we need to be on, led by Jesus Christ. That leads into heaven. And the other journeys lead away from God to eternal death. Tonight we're going to study about what religion is, and hope you'll be back for that study. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. You are a spiritual person. You have a part of you that will never die. Never cease to exist. You are immortal. All the flesh will die, but you are an immortal soul. And so it's important that you conform yourself to the word that the Spirit of God has revealed, so that you are the spiritual person that God wants you to be. That begins by believing His message. His message is truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And to so believe that you're willing to confess that belief before men. And you believe it so earnestly that you will change your heart to conform to His will, to the things He's prepared for you, rather than continue in the path of sin where you are at this moment. And then to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, because Jesus died for you. And He says, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And He's the one who said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. The he that does not believe will be condemned. If you're ready to become a Christian and then live for Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then let us know right now, and you can become a Christian. We'll baptize you into Jesus Christ. Take your public confession of faith, baptize you into Jesus, and He will save you from your sins by His grace through your faith. If you're a Christian, you need to repent of sin, use this opportunity. If it's public in nature, set those things right. If you need our prayers, we'll pray together about those things. If we can help you, respond to God's call. Won't you come while we stand in front of you?